Welcome to The Synopsis. In this series, we bring you books in brief, short summaries of the greatest books of our time that you've always wanted to read. In the next few minutes, we'll discuss what makes these books so influential.
Hello there, Ahalya here on The Synopsis with another summary of another wildly popular book. This one is written by an author who is a popular writer of self-help books, so it makes perfect sense that he's actually quite good at them. The book in question today is the 1996 release, The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari, written by Robin Sharma. Also, most notably, his most successful book. Sharma, a litigation lawyer in Canada, self-published this book, which proved to be a fantastic decision because it went on to become a worldwide bestseller. The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari speaks about the dangers of the rat race through the story of an overachieving Harvard law graduate who became a successful lawyer. The lawyer suffers a heart attack and collapses in a courtroom. That disaster starts him off on an exploratory journey about his life's purpose. Our protagonist's first steps are on the road to wisdom. After that heart attack, Julian Mantle, our protagonist, sells his Ferrari and sets out in search of mindful living. And he shows up 3 years later at a former colleague's office looking radiant, almost Buddha-like, exuding good health and wisdom. In his travels, he was taught a system of 7 virtues on one condition, that he would return home and spread those teachings. The first virtue: control your mind. So to better understand this virtue, let's just begin with a parable. There was a serene, tranquil garden in full bloom. It had a large lighthouse in the middle, and this tranquility was suddenly disrupted by a large sumo wrestler who was 9 feet tall and weighed 900 pounds and was wearing just a pink wire cable, the kind that sumo wrestlers wear. He finds a golden stopwatch and puts it on. He immediately loses consciousness. When he wakes up, he is rejuvenated by the fragrance of yellow roses. He finds a path covered with diamonds and, dazzled by it, he walks on it. There, he discovers everlasting joy and bliss. Sharma says that every element in that parable actually denotes an aspect of the Shivana system. The garden represents our mind. Many people, most people actually, end up littering their mental gardens with wasteful negative thoughts, fears, and doubts. So the first virtue is to control your mind. Care for and guard your mind and let in only pleasant, positive thoughts. Ban the toxic ones. Do not internalize negativity. Because what you think becomes your reality. Sharma explains how one can do this. Sit in a quiet space and focus your vision on the center of a rose, paying attention to its color and texture. Fill your mind with thoughts about how beautiful the flower is. At first, random thoughts will distract you, but with practice, your mind will become more disciplined. This exercise makes it easier to control your thoughts and channel them towards peace and joy. On that hopeful note, the second virtue is purpose. To lead a fulfilling life, we all need purpose, because those with purpose never waste time. We all must find our individual mission that each one of us must fulfill in our lifetime in order to achieve satisfaction and inner harmony. Sharma gives us a 5-step method that will help us align with our purpose. The first step, visualize the outcome. If your goal is wellness, picture a fitter version of you. The second, push yourself with just the right amount of discipline, consistency, and healthy pressure to reach your goals every single day. Number three, deadlines. Put in place a timeline or a deadline to achieve your goals. 4. The rule of 21. Sharma claims that a new behavior becomes a habit if you repeat it consistently 21 days in a row. And 5. Just enjoy the process. The third virtue is doing something for self-improvement every day. Remember that large sumo wrestler? He represents Kaizen, a Japanese word that means constant, never-ending improvement towards unlocking your highest potential. To achieve this, Sharma lists what he calls the 10 rituals of radiant living. The first is a ritual of solitude. Include a little space for silence every day to calm your mind and access your creativity. The second is a ritual of physicality. Move your body to keep fit. The third, the ritual of live nourishment. Sharma says it's best to follow a vegetarian diet because its energy doesn't involve ending the lives of animals. The fourth is a ritual of abundant knowledge. Never stop learning. Keep your mind stimulated by reading or studying. The fifth is a ritual of personal reflection. Ask yourself daily, could I have done anything better today? The sixth, the ritual of early awakening. Get about 6 hours of sleep and rise with the sun. The seventh is the ritual of music. Personally, my favorite. Listen to uplifting music as often as you can. The eighth, the ritual of the spoken word. Create a personal mantra to inspire you. The ninth ritual is that of a congruent character, meaning staying true to your core principles. And the tenth ritual is that of simplicity. Simplify your life, focus on priorities, and invest energy in meaningful activities. No, we haven't reached the end. Those were just 10 rituals, part of the third virtue. We've still got a couple more to go. The fourth virtue is living a disciplined life. Think back to our sumo wrestler, the one with a pink cable covering his private parts. During his discussions with the sages, the protagonist learned that that wire is a symbol for strict self-discipline. Much like one's concentration, one can build self-discipline through simple exercises like choosing to not speak for a day. A full day. A prolonged vow of silence is an excellent way to strengthen your will. And definitely a vow that I would struggle with the most. The fifth virtue is respecting your time. The golden stopwatch in our story symbolizes the fifth virtue, respecting your time. Mastery of time is mastery of life. You are mortal and your life must be valued and lived with mindfulness. Sharma recommends a small exercise. Take 15 minutes before you go to bed at night and plan out the next day. On Sundays, schedule 1 hour to plan out your upcoming week. Also, live each day as if it were your last. Yes, it's cliche, but it's valuable. Don't waste your time agreeing to activities that you don't want to engage in. Ask yourself, is this how I would spend my last day on earth? The sixth virtue is selflessly serving others and living in the present joyfully. The sumo wrestler in our parable fell unconscious and awoke full of energy because of the fragrance of the yellow roses. So the flowers symbolize the sixth virtue, selflessly serving others. Therefore, be kind and compassionate towards others, and it will improve your life in return. Take a moment every morning to consider what good you can do in the world and how you can help improve the lives of those around you. Start by sincerely praising others, helping a friend, or by showing affection towards your family. Last but not least is the seventh virtue, living in the here and now. After being revived by the roses, our sumo wrestler discovered a diamond-encrusted path. That path represents the seventh virtue, living in the now. Sharma says happiness is not a destination but the journey itself. The diamonds represent the small, everyday wonders that life's journey throws in our path. These little joys, if recognized, which is always the hardest part, lead us to a state of eternal joy because we are not waiting for the future to make us happy. So practice gratitude on a daily basis. Appreciate your health, your family, even something as ordinary as the birds singing in the morning, because nothing is more precious than the here and now. In summary, the monk who sold his Ferrari speaks of seven virtues that we can act upon to remove negativity from our mind and accomplish our life's purpose. Keep the mind focused on positive thoughts. Whenever a negative thought floats in your head, actively choose to replace it with a positive thought. And that is On the Monk Who Sold His Ferrari by Robin Sharma on The Synopsis with me, Ahalya.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Synopsis, powered by Timber Media.